We've been considering over the month of January, as we often want to start our year with a bit of a theme and thinking about the matter of having a closer walk with the Lord. That's certainly my desire. I'm sure that is for many of you as well. And we've been looking at a few scriptures and having a bit of a study on that over this month of January. Just reminded in that hymn, it says about daily walking close to thee, and it certainly is a daily walk. It's a day-by-day thing. And we've learned as we've been going through our study that our walk refers to the way we live. It is also refers really to the relationship we have with one another. We mentioned that, you know, people walk everywhere, that's how they get around, but when you're walking with someone, it usually denotes some sort of relationship. And if you're walking hand in hand, it usually means an even closer relationship. And we want to live that sort of relationship with God. That's how our desire for this year. And it also reminds us of who we follow, who we travel along with. And so the scriptures, as we've learned, are filled with commands and counsels, also examples of people who walk with the Lord, some who kind of drifted away from the Lord, and others who just did not live at all in any relationship with the Lord. And we began our study, firstly in Psalm 1, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, and where we learned that every person is on one of two paths, and God described them as the way of the ungodly, or the way of the wicked, and the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly is really, in essence, living independently from God, living just with no regard for God, just according to my own thinking, my own ways. That's what I do. And that's where all of us begin, really. We come into this life separated from God. We know that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, in his grace, has extended salvation to us. And as we trust in Christ, we begin on the path or the way of the righteous. And that's the wonderful thing that we notice. And that way of the righteous, it is living in dependence of God, living by faith and trusting in his word and his promises and living in obedience to him. And we learned that you and I have a choice as to which path we will take and which path we'll continue on. Certainly for all of us, as I said, we begin on the path of the ungodly, but you and I can make a choice when we hear the message of the gospel of what Christ has done for us, that we can trust in him and him alone for our salvation. And that begins us on the path of the way of the righteous. But for you and I, we need to continue. We need to trust the Lord each day. We need to listen to him. And the counsel that we found from Psalm 1 was not to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't end up in, as it says, walking in the counsel, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Don't do that. Rather, delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And you and I, as we delight ourselves in God's word, that will produce blessings in our life. The one that follows the way of righteousness is like a tree planted by a river, and shall his leaf doesn't wither, he'll bring forth his fruit. And really the picture that we have there is a prosperity. You know, the world has its prosperity. The world has riches and fame and all these different things that follows. But God says that prosperity is like chaff. It's just like it blows away with the wind. It has no lasting substance. And while people chase those things, he says, no, what we are to do is to delight ourselves in God's word, and God's word will produce in us the fruit that in its season, the fruit that is brings glory to him. And then in the second week, we kind of unpacked and looked at more of what it meant about that fruit. And we learnt from Galatians 5, 16 to 25, that there is a walk, there's a type of walk that brings forth fruit. And God says in that passage that we're to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he goes on later down in verse 22 to give us what the fruit would be. And he talks about love, joy, peace, and he goes on through all of those different things. And we really focused and thought about those first three, love, joy, and peace. All of us want to have, we want to grow in our love, we want to have more joy, we want to experience more peace. And the way that we do that is to walk in the Spirit. Now, one of the things that we realized about that as we were going through that was to first come to the understanding that God has determined that every believer will produce that fruit. you will produce that fruit of love, joy, peace, and the other, either now or in heaven. And God wants you to do it now. God wants you to grow now. And it's something that is a process for us that we grow in, just as you plant a fruit tree. It takes time and takes watering and nurturing. God does that. But God, ultimately, that fruit tree will produce fruit. And just in the same way, you and I as believers will bear that fruit. And we have to understand what that fruit is. A lot of people, when they think of prosperity and fruit, they think of material blessings and all sorts of fame and popularity and things like that. And while God can give you those, really the fruit that he's talking about here is different. It's a fruit of our character, our nature. What God wants us to do is to become more like his son, to become more like Jesus. And so love, joy, and peace is an example of some of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We learned that the greatest enemy to us bearing that fruit is something that the Bible calls the flesh. It's our old sin nature. It's our default position before we came to Christ. And now that we're in Christ, we have a new nature. God has given us, we're new creatures in Christ, and yet we still have that old nature that's kind of nagging at us and wanting us to follow it. And what we recognized in Galatians 5 is that you can identify that the works of the flesh. And the flesh, as much as we want to try and change it, you can't change it. The Bible says don't change the flesh. It says just mortify, put it to death, just recognize that it's dead, and we are to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And that was the last point we saw, that God's power is what makes it certain. And so the flesh is something that's in us, which is kind of, you know, something that we deal with, but it's also good in a sense because we have some degree of measure over the things that are within us. We can't often control what's around us, but the best thing is we have the Holy Spirit. We have God dwelling in us, and God allows us, and God's power, as we yield to him, will produce that fruit in our lives. And I hope over the last couple of weeks, just a bit of a summary there, that those biblical truths have helped you in recent days, not just in, you know, getting this in our head, but actually applying it to our lives. Maybe in the last week you've thought more about, you know, what sort of things are robbing me of love, joy, and peace, and realizing, hey, those things are not of the Spirit if they're doing that, and maybe I need to kind of just put them aside, cast them off, or reckon myself dead to them. And these are things that would help us. And this morning, I want us to continue on by thinking about some of the obstacles that we face in life as we that might hinder our walk with God. So here we are. We want to have a walk with God. We want to walk closely with God. We understand this battle that's within us. But there's also things that happen around us, obstacles and things like that. And there are things that get in the way. And what we want to do is learn a bit about how we can walk with, as we're going to see, wisdom this morning, that we need to walk with wisdom. Now, often when you go walking, you know, ideally what you want to do is go to point A and point B, and it's all very straight and that's nice. But that's not how it is for most of us. And particularly if your walk is longer, you're going to have all sorts of obstacles along the way. We are, as I mentioned, 3 weeks into 2024, and it's likely that many of you have already faced some obstacles, some things that we would say came out of nowhere. You know, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a financial setback, maybe it's a work problem, an unexpected expense, a family situation. And these things have kind of maybe caught you by surprise and possibly even thrown you off course a little. And if you've not already had an obstacle this year, and I don't wish that upon you, but I know you will. You'll have obstacles. We all have them. It's as part of life that we face this. And in any walk, particularly a longer walk, we need to realise that there's dangers in the way. If we're not careful, we can trip, we can fall, we can get distracted, we find ourselves off track. Sometimes we can take detours. Sometimes those detours are good, but sometimes they take us off on a path which really ends up taking us a lot longer to get to where we would be. And that's true in the physical realm. We know that. We see that all the time. But it's also so true for us in our walk with God. So how are we going to navigate those obstacles? How are we going to recognize them and perhaps, you know, as we walk with the Lord, that we realize that we can see these dangers, we can kind of anticipate them, and by God's grace continue in a walk with the Lord, but not just walking with him, but growing closer to him as well. And so the text I want to look at this morning that really helps us with this is Ephesians chapter 5. You probably saw it in your order of service. Ephesians chapter 5, a fairly well-known passage here, just a few verses. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. And these verses give us advice on how we can walk wisely, how we can walk in such a way that is according to the will of God, and that we can perhaps recognize some of these obstacles ahead of time and avoid them if we can, and by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 5, only beginning at verse 15, and there's only three verses in this. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, let's pray as we consider what we've just read and as we look further into God's word this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for the beginning of a new year. We thank you for the opportunity to, in some way, start afresh and set some new desires and goals. And our greatest desire, Lord, is that we would walk with you. I know that's my desire, that I would walk with you, walk closer with you. And I pray, Lord, that as we have already now a few weeks into the year, maybe some here are a little bit discouraged, but Lord, help us to continue to know that you're with us, you're present, you will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, that your desire is for us to walk with you as well. And Lord, today as we look into this passage, help us to see the obstacles that get in the way. Help us to recognize how we can have a wise walk, particularly in the evil days that we live in. And I pray that you'd help us with this, you'd encourage us, and above all, you'd really prepare us for what lies ahead. Lord, we don't know what 2024 is going to bring for us, but you do. And we know that. And so therefore, we just want to rest upon you. We need your wisdom. And we ask you to teach us from your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we have been thinking about this matter of walking with the Lord, I mentioned that there's quite a lot of scriptures that talk about it. And I've been kind of working through some of those scriptures, and we could spend the whole year looking at this matter. And Ephesians is a book, a letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church that is just chock full of advice and counsel about how we should walk. The first three chapters really describe who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. It talks about our salvation in him. And then chapters 4 and 5 go on to instruct us as to how we live because of that. Here you are, you're a believer, you have these riches in Christ. It says in chapter 1, he's given us spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It talks about different matters in those first three chapters. And then in chapters 4 and 5, it tells us how we should walk. And I'd love to go through all of those, but I won't. But I just want to share some key verses that maybe you can go back and read later on as I've been reading them. And really, chapter 4 being the turning point says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this being Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What's the vocation? He's talking about that whole first three chapters of what Christ has done for you, who you are in Christ. Because of all of that, here, I want you to walk worthy. He goes on in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He talked about the way of the ungodly and how all they do is think from their perspective. They really, God is not, as it says in one of the Psalms, God is not in all their thoughts. God is not in any of their thoughts. They're really just living, as you'd say, just off their own nose, off their own thoughts, looking that far just in their own environment. They're not thinking about God. And he says, don't do that. We come to Ephesians chapter 5, and in leading up to this passage, we have two other commands. The first, he says, in walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. So we're to walk in love. A little further down in verse 8, he says, for you were sometimes darkness, that was how we were before Christ, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he's saying, again, because of what Christ has done, because of your new nature, walk according to that. And so they're the verses that kind of lead up to that. And like I said, look, plenty of good stuff in that, but and much we could look at. But I really want to focus and go back to verses 15 through 17 and really start with verse 15 and the key to all of this we're going to look at this morning. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What would that look like? Well, for instance, redeem the time. Why would you do that? Because the days are evil. And since the days are evil, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's kind of how that verses fit together. God is telling us through the Apostle Paul, he's urging us, particularly in the days that we're living in, walk wisely. Exercise wisdom in the way that you live. Don't walk foolishly, walk wisely. Well, what does it mean to walk wisely? Well, the word wise in Scripture is a term that really refers to someone who has skill in navigating the affairs of life. I don't know if you've ever been. I used to do a lot of bushwalking when I was younger, and nowadays you've got GPSs and all that sort of stuff, but one of the things you needed to be able to do was kind of read a map and read a compass and need a certain amount of skill because you're going out there and, okay, we would sometimes up in Alpine Victoria, I'd go with some friends, and we were going on, yes, some of them were tracks that were known, but some areas were really steep. There were river crossings. There were all sorts of things like that. And if you just go, hey, I'm just going camping, I'm going out from that, and you're not prepared for that, you could be quite hurt. You could be in a lot of trouble. You could get lost. And so the need to not only know those things, but to be able to navigate skillfully is something that you needed to learn, you need to be able to do. And that's really what we're talking about when it comes to wisdom. You know, wisdom isn't just knowledge. It involves knowledge, it involves learning. But wisdom actually means to be skillful in the way that you apply that knowledge. The Bible says that knowledge itself puffs up, it says in Corinthians. But wisdom, true wisdom that comes from God, is something that will lead us and guide us. And I've been reading through, in my daily readings this month, I've been reading through Psalms and reading through Proverbs, and you read through Proverbs, and there's so much in Proverbs about wisdom, so many little snippets there. But God actually, in his word, paints wisdom like a lady or a person that you're to follow, and really encourages us to do that, to not just have knowledge, but to exercise wisdom. And you and I as Christians, we not only bear testimony to God of his salvation, we also bear testimony to the wisdom of God. And we do that by following his ways, conducting our affairs in a skillful way. And that's in contrast to the ungodly, the foolish way, the way that may seem like there is a worldly wisdom, but is just, again, it's in its own strength, in its own mind, and ultimately leads to perishing, leads to destruction. As I said, the book of Proverbs presents us this contrast so often, and talks about those who would navigate life as in wisdom and those who are foolish. It often talks about the wise man or the prudent, uses the term prudent. We don't use that term much anymore. Yet that is something that the Bible talks about. A couple of verses that just share with you on that. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. And so prudent has the idea of the word there, has the idea of cunning or skillful. It can be used in a bad way, but usually most of the time it's used in a good sense. And it tells us there also in Proverbs 14 verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. A lot of people today just hear things and parrot it, but they don't understand what they're learning, what they know. They're not applying it to their lives. We don't want to be like that. The folly of fools is deceit. That's what it's saying. So many people just follow along with everyone else. They're not thinking. They're not evaluating. And God wants us to do that. Well, a few points here I just want to share this morning. And the first is that we walk wisely by a careful assessment. Notice in the verse it tells us, see that you walk circumspectly. What does it mean to walk in that manner? Well, as we said, walking wisely means to be skillful in the way that we live, to apply the knowledge that we learn from God. And one of the things that we realise is it doesn't come naturally. It's not automatic. And I know that because he's actually commanding us. See then that you do this. If it was something that was just natural to us, he wouldn't need to kind of put that emphasis on it. But what it's telling us here is you need to take conscious, deliberate care about the way you live, about the way you walk, about the choices you make, the people that you listen to, who you associate with. All of those things are important. And he says that we are to walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly in the English comes from two Latin words meaning to look around. And the word in the Greek that's there has this idea of being careful, of being exact, of being precise. Now, you know, you can walk out onto a street and one of the things that I learned, I don't know, who of you were younger remembered Hector the safety cat? Remember that? Hector the safety cat. He was this little big cat guy in a cat suit probably, and he would come on and he had this little song and he said, you know, you stop at the curb, you look to the right, you look to the left, you look to the right, and then if the road's clear of traffic, he says, walk across the road, don't run. And I still have that little dit. They used to play it on the telly all the time when I was growing up. I think they should do it again nowadays. But the idea here is to look around, to see what you're doing. Because today, of course, we have a lot of people today that are not looking around and seeing what they're doing. And sadly, you know, many a person has either been injured, almost been injured, or even lost their lives because they've got their AirPods in, they're looking at their phone, they're walking around, they're not paying attention to what's going on around them. And so the idea here is that is the way of the fool. Just you're living your life, you're not paying attention to what's going on around you, you're not thinking about it, you're not looking out. God says, don't do that. Look out. Walk circumspectly, look around. We must make wise decisions and we must seek the will of God. You probably heard the term look before you leap, and that's true. If you're going down and you're going to jump in the water, just look for there's rocks underneath and things like that. Just as you should look carefully when you are physically assessing the dangers that are around, the obstacles, the best paths to take, that also should be the way that we do that in the way that we live. And a couple of verses to remind us of that. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent, that's the wise man, looketh well to his going. In other words, he looks around. A bit further down in Proverbs 22, we're told that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, there are some dangers that we can protect ourselves from. Look, now, sometimes we know God brings us through trials. He allows trials in our lives. And we've already looked at in recent months about how God uses those trials to mold us and shape us. But there's some things that we can avoid. And God wants us to avoid them simply by looking around and simply by considering before we make that choice, we make that decision. Now, there are all sorts of dangers around. And there are potential physical dangers we know, and we need to be mindful of those. We always should be, and we can ask God even for protection. Often I pray for protection. We prayed this morning for protection on the road and safety on the road. We know this time of year there's a lot more people down here on the road. We need to be careful on that. But other dangers that we would consider is that we need to think about. And you know, what are some of the dangers that we would face, that I guess you'd say, in our lives, spiritual dangers? Well, we said there's physical dangers, but there's also other dangers and a few that maybe desires, things that might appeal to our flesh rather than our spirit. Now, you know, the things before you came to Christ, the things that maybe were your weak points, the things that maybe God, has rescued you from even in those things. It may be just hanging out with the wrong crowd. It may be certain ungodly habits. And we need to understand that there are things that appeal to those desires. We have, as I mentioned, the devil, and he is our enemy. We have the world system around that's trying to feed our flesh and try to allure us. And so we need to recognize those things. We need to see them. There's also deception. You know, we want to listen to counsel, but there's also wrong counsel. Wrong counsel in the world, even wrong counsel at times from pulpits as well. And we need to be careful of that. How do we do that? Well, we need to compare everything, search the scriptures, compare it to the word of God. There's distractions as well. There may be things that are not bad in themselves. They're okay, but they can keep us from growing in our walk with God or fulfilling His will for our lives. And so we need to have a mind that's looking out, not fearfully, but carefully, looking out at these obstacles. Well, how do we look for those? Well, we need wisdom, and that wisdom only comes from God. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he says, goes on to say, giveth to all men liberally. In other words, if you say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know where the dangers are. Can you show them to me? And you continue to know that God will reveal them to you. He'll show them to you. Now, you know, part of that means that it's a daily walk with God. You know, we don't just ask that once and then charge on however we live. We want to continue to trust in the Lord. Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do His commandments. We need to have a reverence for Him and understand that He does have the answers. You know, so often we think about, you know, the struggles we go through, and we realize that, you know, maybe others don't understand what we're going through, but God does. God knows them, and God can even direct us in that. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So for us, we need to look out for those obstacles, and we can only do that as we trust in the Lord. As it says, lean not on our own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct thy paths. He'll direct us in the way that we should go. Don't walk there, walk here. Look out for that, and we can do that. Now, there's times we can mess it up. I understand that. But you will walk far closer. You'll have a far better walk if you're walking and listening to the Lord in all of that as well. Now, walking circumspectly doesn't mean just looking out for the obstacles or the dangers in the way. It also means looking for the opportunities, you know, and realizing that you come to the curb, you're looking out. Hey, there's an opening in the traffic light has stopped, I can cross safely now, there's things like that. And just like in our lives as well, we can have things that we say, hey, not just looking, hey, cautiously and carefully around as we should, but looking and saying, what are the opportunities that God gives us? And this really brings us to the second point I wanted to look at this morning. We walk wisely by conscious action, redeeming the time. And one of the areas that God wants us to know, and there's many areas, but He's really highlighting this one area, the Holy Spirit, is making a point of it. He's saying, yes, you know, walk wisely, watch the way you walk, but one way of doing that is redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And that really reminds us that, you know, how God views all of this, and we need to have the same approach to time as God has. Often when we think about time, we think about the amount of time. It might be a year, a day, a week, or a month, and that's a measure of time. But what God is talking about here, He uses a different word, and it's really talking about a season or an opportunity. Redeem the time, redeem the season, redeem the opportunity. Really what He's saying is that, you know, the way that we've got to view our time is got to be a little bit different from the world. Often when people think about time in the world, they say, I've got a certain amount of time to do things, or I've got my leisure time, I've got things, and they often will just kind of say pass the time by doing a certain thing, maybe some sort of amusement, maybe other things that they're doing, and in doing that they are just, I guess you're saying, walking through that time, just fulfilling it however they do. But what God actually says for us is that we need to recognize that it is an opportunity, and God gives us opportunities, and what He actually wants us to do is to buy them up for ourselves, to redeem them, to make the most of them, you could say, make the most of the opportunities. How do you redeem the time? How do you make the most of the opportunities? Well, firstly, you have to be able to see the opportunities, and to do that, we need to be, again, walking with the Lord. I have found it in this last month, as I mentioned, I've been working through December through February, reading through the New Testament. Now, as you know, each week I study the Word of God, and I do that for messages and Bible studies and things like that. But I knew that one of the areas that I'd been kind of drifting a bit in was my daily devotions, just spending time with the Lord in His Word. And one of the things I've found such a blessing is just to carve out a bit of time at the beginning of the day just to read God's Word and read through it. And maybe 10 minutes or so, longer if you have it, but just to spend some time with the Lord, because that, again, equips you for the day. And one of the things that I've found as I've been reading through the New Testament and reading through Psalms and Proverbs is that how many times has it been like, that's just what I've needed for the day? And God's reminded me about some things with that as well. And so I would encourage you to do that. I know people's schedules are different, and I know some people say, well, look, you know, I'm really busy, and I get that. But things aren't going to change unless you start to redeem that time. And for you and I, that's what I believe is a good thing. It's good to start our day with the Lord. We don't do this as some sort of religious thing that kind of like, as I mentioned last week, that God will zap us if we don't do it, if you miss a day or whatever. It's spending time with Him. It's walking with Him. That's what it means to walk with Him, just to spend some time reading God's Word, soaking it in. And you may not understand it all initially. I am now, you know, 35 odd years as a believer, and as I'm reading through, even this time reading through the New Testament, I'm like, wow. And I had seen it before, but you feel like, oh, I've never seen that before. God's word is living and it's powerful, and He will meet you where you are. And so good to do that. So I think it's good for us to begin our day. But one of the things I was reminded of this week and really brought me back to as I was reading in the morning was the importance of perhaps even taking some time in the evening at the end of the day. And for some of you, you might be like me, I get really tired at the end of the day, so reading a great deal, I'm just going to fall asleep. But what I do is I reflect. I think about the day. I look back over the day. And so in the beginning of the day, as I'm reading, I'm praying, God, I want to walk with You. I want to make wise choices. Lord, help me to not react according to my flesh. Help me to walk in the Spirit. And then I go ahead and, I walk through my day, and I will try to remember those things from the Lord. But I get to the end of the day, and rather than just going to bed and forgetting about it, I stop and I listen and I stop and I spend some time and I think back and I go, how did I do, Lord? And I was reading the other day in Psalm, I think, 139, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think it's so valuable for us sometimes to take some time at the end of the day. Yes, we want to walk circumspectly. We want to spend time with the Lord. But I think it's good for us to take time at the end of the day and evaluate. And we're not talking about beating ourselves up about all the mistakes that we made, but simply to say, God, thank You for bringing me through this day. Thank You for the things I've learned. Show me the things where, you know, I've kind of fumbled. And Lord, help me by Your grace to grow in those areas. And I think that's a valuable thing for us. So redeeming the time, important with that as well, that we are to redeem the time through, as we said, a conscious action there. He goes on to say, thirdly, for the days are evil. Why should we redeem the time? Why should we redeem the season? Well, he mentions because of a situation here, because the days are evil. Now, you probably would have expected him to say, because time is short. Because he's already said, redeem the time, and we know, again, in Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You know, we need to realise we don't know how much time we have, and we probably don't have a lot of time left. The days are short, they're few. But he's actually saying here something different. He's saying, no, the nature of the days. The days are evil. The days are evil, and we know that. We're living in a world that is growing increasingly evil, violent. We're watching wars and lawlessness and all of these things rising up around the world. We're also seeing, of course, the rejection of God. Wholesale. You know, when some of you who are older and, you know, older than me, and even when we remember growing up when they used to pray in schools, or they used to kind of, you know, that they have RE in schools, they had different things. And a lot of my friends, when we were younger, we went to church, we went to Sunday school. Not even that my parents were religious. They said, you know, but it was good for us to learn about these things. We lived in an environment where, you know, it was easier to see and to take those opportunities. But you and I know that wickedness is encroaching. And when wickedness encroaches, it reduces opportunity. You know, today we see a world that is very anti-God in so many ways, that want their own agenda. And sadly, that has even been the case, you know, we're seeing that in churches, young people just not even going to church anymore. And they've just, because they've not been taught any of these things, they're not learning any of the things, and they have no regard of it, because that's the world. That's the world that's pushing in. That's the evil days that we live in. Now, it's not just, we here should understand and we should know, it's not about, oh, they need religion. They need salvation. Their eternity is at stake here. And so it's important that we understand this. And so one of the reasons that we need to redeem the time, we need to redeem the opportunities both in our lives and in thinking about those that we are trying to speak and share the good news of the gospel is that the days that we live in. In Colossians 4, it says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Without what? Without Christ, without salvation. And if you're without salvation today, if you're without Jesus Christ, the Bible says that your eternity is in judgment in the lake of fire, in hell. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance, a change of mind that leads to a change of heart by trusting in Jesus Christ and the rescue plan that God has made. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that have everlasting life. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. And we want to share that with people, but we are seeing, because of the evil days that we live in, those opportunities are narrowing in. You know, as a church here, we give out gospel leaflets, and we just gave some out at Christmas. Now, 10 years ago when we first came out, I used to get a lot of, quite a bit of response. People would ring up and ask questions, want to know about it, and some of you came to this church because of maybe a gospel leaflet that you had. Today, we just put out a few thousand of them. I think one response, you know, that's how it's changing. Now, maybe you need to change, not use leaflets, do something else. We're going to keep doing leaflets. We're going to keep doing that. And maybe there's other methods. But we do recognize that the opportunities are closing in. And so God's saying, look, you need to walk wisely. You need to redeem the time, make the most of the opportunities, because the days are evil. And this necessitates that we have wise conduct. And just finishing up today, we walk wisely by understanding God's will. That's what it finishes up with. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And this final verse really isn't introducing a new point, it's just supporting everything that's been said before. You show your wisdom, you are to walk wisely. You show your wisdom by the way that you approach time, you redeem it, you buy up those opportunities. You do that because the days are evil. And therefore, because of that, we walk wisely and we need to understand what the will of God is. It says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The term unwise here is a term that really is kind of like mindless, just going along. Don't be like that. Don't just drift through life. Don't be just drift through being sort of swamped by the culture, following, just going whatever. It says, no, think about it. Walk circumspectly. Spend time. Stop to consider. Stop to understand. And if Scripture warns that, and it's warning Christians here to do that, it means that we can do that. We can very easily just mindlessly go through our days and our weeks. But God says, don't do that. He wants us to live, again, according to his will. How do we know what his will is? His word tells us his will. We spend time with him in his word. Now, you and I know in this church, we speak a lot about the Bible, about spending time with God in his word. And I really believe, and I think it's true, that you can't really grow in your Christian walk. You can't grow without spending time with God in his word. Now, I know it's a challenge, and I know it's something that we need to grow in, but we all need to start somewhere. And this is where we come into this year, and it's such an important thing for us to develop some time with the Lord. When we do that, we find that our minds are renewed. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Say, God, look, I just want to walk with you. I want to present myself to you, wholly accepted to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Don't think the way that this world thinks, but be transformed. Be changed by how? By the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? Through God's word to us. God will speak to you through his word. He will reveal things through your word. And as you read it, keep praying. God, show me something today from your word. And have a plan in doing that. And we find that as our mind is renewed, it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Maybe today you're wondering sort of like, what is God's will for my life? What do I do? You know, what am I to do this year? With regard to my jobs, my relationships, all of those different things. Well, the only way you're going to learn anything about that you're going to understand anything about, is to spend time with God in his word. And so that's my encouragement to you this morning, is if we're going to walk wisely, we're going to walk Yes, by looking around, by being aware of the obstacles, we're going to do that. We're going to redeem the time. We're going to understand the days we live in. But all that's going to come from, as we said, a prudent walk, a wise walk, but also a prayerful walk as well, as we spend time with the Lord. And God wants us to know his will. He's not trying to hide it. It's not like, hey, try and guess what my will is. You know, I don't want you to know. God wants to reveal his will in his life, but he won't reveal all of it all at once. There's some things that the scriptures tell us very clearly. This is the will of God for you. There's other things that might be you may not be sure about. You know, what does God want me to do? Well, keep trusting and walking with the Lord, and he will not only show you the obstacles, hey, don't go that way, he'll reveal to you opportunities as well. And then you can follow him in that. What a wonderful thing it is that we can know that. The will of God, at first, for if you're not a believer, is to trust in him for salvation. We're all sinners, the Bible says. All sin comes short of the glory of God. God demonstrated his love to us while we were sinners. Jesus Christ came into this world. He died for us in our place to pay for our sin. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. If you are a believer, and I hope that you are, if you're not, you can today. You can trust in Christ. But for a believer, what are we to do? Read his word, study his word, spend time with him, and really ask him for guidance, and then share with others the good news of salvation and the good news of God's word. Walking with the Lord, it's been good to be continuing through series. Next week, we'll finish up our series looking at another aspect, but we're thankful that we have God's word to guide us, and that we can indeed have a closer walk with him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for your wonderful word that speaks to us and guides us. Lord, we confess that we need your wisdom. Lord, there's so much going on in the world around us. There's so much going on in our lives. And it's very tempting for us just to go along with what everyone else is doing. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that would look around, that we would consider and think and walk circumspectly, as your word tells us, that we would take advantage of the opportunities that you present us. You really lead us in the way that we would go. We know that that will be through our not only reading and trusting your word, but obeying your word and delighting in your word as well. We thank you that your plan is to continue to bring forth fruit in our lives. We want to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may you be glorified in all of this. It's not for our glory, it's for yours. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.